to Detroit, where money is also on the front burner. That's where a new report has been released on the city's disastrous finances. Detroit's emergency manager, Kevin Orr, released his report taking an in-depth look at the city's books. The state's emergency manager law requires him to issue this report 45 days after his appointment. So this is clear. Detroit is broke, and its finances are in worse shape than anyone previously understood. The city has almost $9.5 billion in bonds and other debt, almost $6 billion in unfunded retiree health care, and will end its budget year with a $162 million cash flow shortfall. Emergency manager Kevin Orr joins us now. Kevin, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks so much, Cindy. Good to talk to you.
Well, no one is surprised that Detroit is in a financial crisis, but I'm wondering, was it as bad as you thought it would be before you stepped into the Coleman A. Young building, sat down in that office? Was it as bad as you thought it would be?
It's somewhat worse than I thought it would be. I mean, I had not understood. You know, I'd done some research before I came in to the position, was appointed by Governor Snyder, but I had not understood the longstanding historical context of the problem and the level of, if you would, interfund borrowing in the city. That's pretty significant.
Is that what my mother used to call borrowing from Peter to pay Paul?
Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. I mean, that's exactly right. City's been doing it for a long time.
So put this into context for the average listener, if you can,
sure.
Who are not bankruptcy lawyers. What do these numbers really look like? What do they really mean?
Well, what I've been trying to tell people is imagine this. The city takes in about $1 billion, down from $1.25 billion a couple of years ago, every year. The city owes all in somewhere neighborhood of $15.6, maybe $16 billion, which is greater than by another $2 billion than the $14 billion we have previously been discussing. So it's a significant amount of money. Two things I would say to give them some gain. This year, so far this year, the total number of initial public offerings, that is companies in America that wanted to go public on the stock markets, about $16.1 billion, all in for the year. In other words, our level of debt is akin to the amount of money that new companies in America needed this year so far to start. Or put another way, if you stop doing everything the city does every year, police, fire, EMT, fireworks, water, street cleaning, garbage pickup, whatever, everything the city does, we could not pay our bill in 15 years, half a generation.
Why is there such a disparity, Kevin, between what we'd been hearing from city leaders and then what you found once you came in and you could open up the books and look in every corner? Was it incompetence? Were people hiding things?
No, I've stayed away from, in both my report and trying to communicate, I've stayed from sort of apportioning blame. I think this mayor and city council, for instance, have tried to do the best they can with the tools they had in their toolbox. I think what really happened years and years ago, I mean, this has been coming our way in one fashion or another from demographics 40 years ago to high-level administration and the prior high-level of mismanagement in the prior administration, not Mayor Bings, but before that, and neglect. And now it's just come to a head. So it's been working its way here for a number of years. The combination of the financial crisis, the borrowing and debt, the unfunded obligations we have, actuarial tables, retirees, the fact that we have two retirees for every employee we have, and that's not sustainable. All those things coming together now and trying to give everybody just a snapshot of what they are make it look so grave, so dire.
Now, critics will say, well, he's painting a bleaker, darker picture than really exists because whatever steps he takes, he's got to look like he's making a bigger difference. Or they may say it fits the governor's declaration that Detroit had to be taken over by an emergency manager. And to that you say?
To that I say, fine. This is totally open book. Come in. These numbers are entirely sustainable. They have been worked over every which way from Sunday. You know, unless those critics have a leprechaun and a pot of gold under their arm, I say to them, come in with a plan. If you don't think this is the truth, then you come in with something different. But it is the truth. And while we may disagree about what we should do about it or how we got here, these are the facts on the ground today that are non-negotiable and non-debatable. This is just the way it is.
Kevin, what is the takeaway for the people who are living in those neighborhoods in the city of Detroit whose lives are affected each and every day by this budget crisis?
Well, I hope the first takeaway is that, you know, the Chinese proverb, the a trip of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. I hope that's their takeaway, that finally we've gotten to a point where we have a common ground, even those that are detractors don't have a reasonable, rational alternative. I mean, a logical, rational person is going to look at this situation and say, it's not sustainable. We can't keep doing this. So I hope those people never say, hey, we're at least now talking off the same page, and we have a common language that we can work from, and we're going to get help. We're going to get help. And Cindy, think of it this way. You know, we've been working our way here for 40 years. I've been here for 45 days, and I've given the first snapshot. Let's just say we've been working our way here for the past 12 years. Okay, in 45 days, I've given what I think is a true snapshot. And in the next 16 and a half months, I've got to come up with a solution. That's a precious small amount of time to wait for that solution, given how long it took us to get here.
What do you say to, let's say, first of all, city retirees? Talk to the retirees who are hearing this discussion and are understandably nervous about what the future may hold.
First and foremost, I hope they understand that, you know, I and my team understand their situation. My mother's a retired school teacher, school superintendent, for instance. She had to have brain surgery years ago. Thank God she had a health care plan that could afford it. There's a difference between life and death, literally. So I get it. I get that aspect of it. I hope they also understand, though, that they're in a city where the numbers are what the numbers are. And while we're going to try to come up with humane solutions in a way that allows them the opportunity and the right to continue, for instance, to getting some portion of their retirement and their health care benefits, we have to look at this in a very sober and rational way, because there's no alternative. We can't keep doing what we're doing.
And I take it that message essentially for bondholders as well?
Absolutely. For the creditors, the creditors are very astute, sophisticated financial professionals. They've already hired counsel. We know who their counsel are. Heck, I've been co-counsel on the other side of some of their attorneys.
Yeah.
They're looking at the same numbers I'm looking at. They know this isn't sustainable.
After you've looked at these numbers, and now that you've presented this snapshot of the finances, how much more likely would you say that a bankruptcy filing for the city would be?
You know, everybody's asking me that.
Yeah.
I keep saying this again and again, Cindy. I want to avoid a bankruptcy filing, because I think if we can negotiate in good faith, we can get to where we're going to be. Now, that's not going to be easy, because the amount of movement that we're going to need from all stakeholders is significant, and it's going to be contrary to what people are used to. But if we don't do it, I have to keep all alternatives on the table. I don't have a choice.
I'm sure you understand there's a lot of anxiety, especially if you're a city retiree.
Sure.
And there's great impatience to hear more from you than the snapshot of how bad things are. And they're wondering, what do you feel you're going to need to do to fix things? Can you give us any sense of what your goals are going to be and what your proposed fixes may look like?
Well, I can't give you the granular details. Let's just say at 35,000 feet, you know, if we're looking at it from that perspective.
Right.
Now, I put them into three buckets. I mean, number one, we've got to rationalize city government the way we work, continuing in the way we budget, continue to borrow from interfunds and pushing off to tomorrow, kicking a can down the road, is it going to work? And we've got to become more efficient for this city to have a sincere chance in the 21st century to compete with other American cities. Number two, we've got to look at how we deal with our long-term liabilities. They're just out there as a 600-pound gorilla in the room. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. We've got to address that in some way or the other. I hope to do that in a way that preserves people's retirement and their health care, but it's got to be dealt with in some fashion. And number three, what I would say is, you know, going forward in terms of city government, we've got to think in ways of how operationally the city can work better, so that the citizens, there's a great deal of energy in the city right now, so in the foundation community, in the business community, as you may have heard, folks like Dan Gilbert, the Illiges, others in this community, Roger Penske's race is getting ready to stop. He's just invested $2 million in new tarmac, so it's an international event. There's a great deal of energy in the city right now to move it forward from the developmental stage. We've got to be the kind of city that invites that kind of innovation, invites that kind of opportunity, invites that kind of growth, because once we get past this era, the thing we really have to look down the road at is what Governor Snyder has said again and again, is growing the city. And this is the first step in that effort.
What do we look for next? What is in your mind as far as a timetable when we might start hearing your plans be made public?
Well, I'm going to start negotiations. I think the first thing to do is to have some fairly closely held negotiations with stakeholders, and I'm preparing to engage in that. In 30 days, I have a statutory obligation to have a public meeting about this report, but I'm going to start, for instance, talking to you and other members in the press to speak to the people, residents, other stakeholders about where we're heading, to try to be very open, very engaging, and to make sure that people understand whatever the facts are, good, bad, and the ugly, I'm going to put them out there so we can have an honest, rational discussion. And that's going to get us to where we need to be, because while you may disagree with whether or not the emergency manager's here or have issues with what the options are, you can't disagree with the numbers. You know, there's an old saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure. Well, I'm not going to figure. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr. Kevin, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside. I know we'll be talking again.
Thank you, Cindy.